Well, hello everybody. Welcome. This is Turning Towards Life from Third Space. We are Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again right at the beginning. Lizzie, I'm going to keep on saying it because it's so exciting, of our 8th year doing this. Welcome everybody. We know you join us from all over the world, different time zones, different places, and also you join us in all kinds of ways. Some of you are seeing us in our Facebook group, some of you are watching us on YouTube or on our Turning Towards Life website. There's videos of all of these conversations, and many, many of you are joining us by podcasts on all the podcasting platforms. And we feel enormously grateful to have you with us so that we can engage in this conversation. This is a conversation that comes out of Third Space. And if you're interested in what gave rise to this and the whole world of offerings that Third Space is, you can find us at wearethirdspace.org. And I'm really pleased to be doing this again today. Lizzie, good morning.
Good
Welcome. Lovely to
morning.
be with you.
Thank you, Justin. Good morning, everybody. And here we are again with a source. So if you're new to us, you will realize soon enough that we have something each week. We alternate who chooses the source between Justin and me. And this week we have something by this wonderful woman called Magda Gerber. And Magda Gerber's work, as I know it, comes from helping parents with small children and how to feel wholesome and enlivened as people caring for small children rather than exhausted and strung out and doing things that don't make us feel alive. So that's the kind of body of work that I understand Magda Gerber to have done in her life. And this little excerpt is something I've chosen for us to talk about today because I don't think it is limited to that realm in the slightest. And it goes like this. There is one thing I believe that all of us want, no matter how old we are, no matter what differences are between us. The one thing we cherish from another human being is attention. Love is not certain. Some people will love us and some people will not. But the one thing that anyone can give to any other person is simple attention. It is not as involved as in love. This attention may last 20 minutes or many hours. If you live with somebody, it's repeated. You are worthy of my attention. That, I think, is the greatest gift we can give each other.
Thank you, Lizzie. Just a reminder to everyone that we always read these twice so you can hear them in different voices. And you can find them all in the notes that go out with the podcast episodes and also on our very beautiful turningtowards.life website, where there are now 366 or more sources for you to explore, as well as all the conversations that come with them. And this is from Magda Gerber. There is one thing I believe that all of us want, no matter how old we are, no matter whatever differences are between us. The one thing we cherish from another human being is attention. Love is not certain. Some people will love us and some people will not. But the one thing that anyone can give to any other person is simple attention. It's not as involved as in love. This attention may last 20 minutes or many hours. If you live with somebody, it is repeated. You are worthy of my attention. That, I think, is the greatest gift we can give each other.
Thanks, Justin. So, as you were reading, I was feeling, as I always do, into what it's giving rise to in me to hear you say those things and to hear myself saying it to myself too. And what came to me just then, Justin, was this question of what kind of implicit message are we bringing to each other in the way that we're interacting with one another? And this invitation to have an implicit messaging of you are worthy of my attention feels to me like a very serious and important building block of all of our sense of belonging, our sense of welcome, our sense of mattering, our sense of worthiness. And this, you know, we talk about power in different ways throughout Turning Towards Life. And I think this is one of those pieces of our personal, individual, always existing power that each of us has, which is, I have the power to choose my implicit message towards you and then act out of that. And for me to be implicitly telling you, by the way I pay attention to you, that you are worthy, is a very, very significant and important power in the world that everybody has, and that we could be that for one another with intentionality, and to know the difference about the implicit messages that we're sending one another by the way that we attend to one another. If I'm absent-mindedly chatting to you and looking around the corner and seeing if there's something better going on, implicit in that is a very different message than you're worthy of my attention. And who knows what that message might be, but it's, if I'm not really paying attention to you, if I'm not attending to you right now when you're here with me, I'm giving you a message that maybe that you're not worthy of my attention. Maybe that there are things way more interesting than you out there. And then how that has you feel and experience your life because of what I'm doing feels like the question that Magda's inviting us into in this little passage.
I'm reflecting as you're talking and as I'm taking you in, Lizzie, that... In a way, what's at the heart of what Magda's bringing us is that the only thing we really have to offer is our attention ever. In this sense, I don't mean it in a naive sense, but to be human, to be a conscious, sentient being, is to place our attention somewhere, and that all of our human life comes to us through the experiences that we have. We don't have a world apart from what we experience. So where we place our attention in what we experience, if I just start with it from me for a moment before I come to the attention I bring to you, where I put my attention is the profoundest kind of shaping of the world that I have available to me. So I could be sitting here with you, and you talked about things that might be interesting elsewhere. I was also thinking about things that are interesting inside me. Like, I get carried away from contact with other people very easily by things that are happening in me. And they may be things I'm interested in, or they may more often for me be things I'm frightened about or worried about, or those kind of things. So in a very sort of basic way, the world that I'm inhabiting is deeply shaped by where I bring my attention, which is a big deal for me, as it will be for you, as it will be for everyone. And then this, it's such an important move that you're talking about and that Magda is talking about, which is then the way I shape my attention, which is shaping the world that I'm in, is also deeply shaping your world in one way or another. Because maybe because maybe because all of human life is shaped by the way we pay attention, and because we're deeply relational beings, we are incredibly attuned to the kind of attention we get from other people. Like, we, way before language, way before thought, we're onto that the kind of attention somebody else is bringing is shaping the whole world for them, and that's shaping a world for us. Like, I think it's down at the deepest level of what it is to be a human. Mm-hmm. And the truth of it is that we have so many places that our attention can be pulled, our attention can be split in so many ways. And so the act of bringing the the conscious, purposeful act of bringing attention to another is, I appreciate Magda Gerber's distinction about being people who love us and people who won't, but actually I think that bringing attention is a very pure form of love. It doesn't mean I have to love you or be in love with you or be your friend or anything like that, but it's an act of exquisite care to bring our attention to another person. So from the side of the person bringing attention, it's an act of care, which is no bad thing for any of us, I think, to be being the people who take care of who and what is around us in that way. But the second thing is, maybe because this starts so early, because my sense is we're up to this from the moment we arrive in the world, of really feeling and noticing the impact of others' attention on us. It's sort of like a fundamental flow of human life, are attending to one another or attending not to one another. And many of us never felt like we got the kind of attention, the kind of reliable attention that we longed for in order to feel human. And that we may have had family systems that were bringing us lots of attention and we still didn't feel it. So lots of us have got sort of historic, consequences of that, or impressions of that we carry with ourselves. And where this leads me is to want to say something about the effort and deliberateness it takes to be a person who's doing what you're talking about and what Magda's talking about. That even whilst you were talking, I was noticing how this new piece of technology we're using to record this episode is going, and whether it was working, and all these, I've got all these calls on me. And bringing my attention to you is an act of deliberateness. I can't just assume that my attention is going to be on you, no matter how much I want to be with you, no matter how much I care about you, no matter the nature of our relationship. It still takes an active choice and then active noticing whilst I'm with you of where my attention goes and coming back to you, because of all the ways that I can, maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is, all the ways in which I can find that I have gone away in being with you. And maybe that's where care and love for one another comes from, is our return, our turning back towards one another when we are inevitably in some ways pulled away.
My gosh, Justin, there's so much reflection happening in me as you're talking. And I'm finding this curiosity, what it's like for everybody listening too. I'm imagining that each time we do this, it just gives birth to reflection in everybody, including us too, that are listening. I'm just really wondering about that and how I'm loving that, actually. I really love that about being here. And the thing that was, the reflection that was coming to me was, I was imagining myself attending to, paying attention, rather than feeling like, my sister always says to me, oh, I've got too many tabs open. Just reminded me of that when you were saying I was paying attention to the technology. And then what happens when we kind of close a few tabs and attend to the one thing that's in front of us, and what kind of liberation that brings, as in to be fully present here with one thing, is very different than trying to hold 1,000 things up at once and attend to this and do that and do this. And this whole kind of bigger cultural narrative of busyness and, oh yeah, I've got loads on. There's some kind of perceived dignity or wonderfulness about having 1,000 things on my plate and being a really busy person and getting loads of things done or whatever. And it feels like a kind of low grade torture or something to kind of be constantly fulfilling that promise of busyness. And the kind of feeling I got when I was listening to you and wondering what it would be like just to pay attention to this simple something that's right here being you. Well, you're not simple, but you're available and straightforward to experience for me in this moment. Putting the other things down that allow me to give you my attention is not only for you, as you were saying, like we're deeply shaped by the way that people pay attention to us, but it's also really liberating for me, because my humanness feels freer and more relaxed and more able when I'm holding you, paying attention to you, and not trying to do 100 other things at once in myself, and not trying also to pay attention to 100,000 things going on in me. And you know, I just, what's arising now, Justin, I remember when I was younger and I was obviously suffering from some kind of like social anxiety. And I remember my mum saying to me, see what you can do to not think about yourself, but to think about the person in front of you and ask them loads and loads of questions. And it was a really sweet way of saying it to me when I was in my teens, I think, really straightforwardly and simply, rather than think about what everyone's thinking of you and obsess about what you're looking like or what somebody might be thinking because of what you said, or like, see if you can redirect your energy to asking somebody about themselves and connecting with people and see what kind of shift in experience you have because you did that. And it's really sweet. I'm really grateful to my mum for saying something straightforward and simple and helpful to me in those moments. And it's this, which is that, as you said, it's so easy to get caught up in the inner world of worry and feeling neurotic and worried about what people are thinking and what I'm going to say or how I'm going to be somewhere or what I look like or all of those things. And how liberating I found it back then to go, oh, this person, I'm going to be interested. I'm going to intentionally be interested and curious and connect with that person and see. And that was for me. And what we're saying now is that it's also for you, whoever's in front of me. And I'm feeling that this thing we often talk about, Justin, of the kind of the reciprocity of things as well, and what it's like to be in a flow between me and you, where I'm attending to you as fully as I can, and you're attending to me as fully as you can, that there's an exchange that's happening. Like, it's not all about you. I'm including myself in this. It's really helpful to me, liberating to me, kind to me, to be in contact with you, because it allows me to be here in a way that is genuine and real and warm and open, which is a gift to my system to be that way. And implicit in that is you feeling centered by me and like I'm here with you, for you, in service of you. And we're both in receipt of what that is generating. And then when you can do that too, like, that feels really cool. Like, if we're both doing that thing, then goodness knows what kind of creativity between us gets born, because everything is between us. We're pouring ourselves into this being in relationship now and here. And it feels very kind of erupting to me of what it could be for humans to be together.
It's because always so much, Lizzie, and what you say, and the part that I'm feel moved to respond to is this part about how the way we bring our attention turns out to be for both of us. So I'm going to sort of want to say back my way of what you said, which is that I suppose the gift in what your mum said to you, which is such a gift, which is really pay attention to the other person. Don't be worried about yourself. Like, remember that that's what to do when you're with someone. And it's such a direct way through the inner loops of worry and control and trying to look good and trying to make sure other people think of us a particular way and all of those things that can be going on in an interaction with someone else. And what you brought us was that if I bring my attention to you, it's a gift to you, but it's also a gift to me. And I'm reminded of language that you've brought into this conversation many times, which is that if my attention is with you, and I have to do the work of noticing all the things my mind and my body do to take my attention elsewhere, like right now, thinking about the technology again, and I've got a meeting that I'm running after this, and my mind went on to that, and I'm wondering if the conversation is going to be okay and how I'm coming across, all of that, all of those things. So what it takes is an act of, in a way, I do have to pay attention to that in order to allow it to soften so I can be with you. So that's one kind of way in which I have to pay two kinds of attention simultaneously. But the more that that softens, and the more that I can invite all of that in me to soften, I get to receive you. And as I get to receive you, rather than thinking this is something I do to you, I bring my attention to you because that's a good thing, because Magda Gerber tells us that we all, yes. But also I get to receive you. And that's where this reciprocity starts, which is to find out that it's not actually I get to receive you and you get to receive me. Is that to be human is to be reciprocal in this way, that there's like a, like one of these Mobius strips, which you take a piece of paper and you make a loop, but you twist one end, so the inside goes to the outside, goes to the inside, goes to the outside. That's what's going on between us, is an interchange of in and out, in and out, by which we become, by which, by virtue of the attention that we bring, we become more deeply present and contactful and human together. And our support for our presence and our contactfulness, to go back to the thing that occurred to me right at the start of this conversation, is in the end all we have. Like at the end of this half an hour, what do we have? We have the something that we've made, the conversation that we're recording, that we hope other people will benefit from. But in terms of my life and your life, Lizzie, in that half an hour, we have really the attention that we've been able to bring and what came from it. And if I can bring my attention in a way that supports you being present and contactfulness and feel available, because I'm bringing you the kind of, I think it is loving attention, but it's certainly maybe deep care of my attention. If that supports you being in present and in contactful with me and bringing your deep care for what's happening out, then we're in a mutually supportive in and out and in between, in which very, very much can happen. But actually, even if nothing else happens, for half an hour, we've been in the presence of another living, breathing, deep human. Who, whether they're somebody, whether you're somebody I like and want to be with, or somebody I'm negotiating with, or somebody I'm having some kind of difficult engagement with, or the person serving a coffee in the coffee shop or at the checkout queue in the supermarket, which bracket is why I think automated checkouts are such a disaster in a way. They're sort of emblematic of a kind of disaster, a very strong language, but which is that we humans really need and thrive and get fed by this kind of contact. So when you replace the person at the checkout with a machine that goes beep, 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 and tallies up the thing, what you gain is efficiency, but what you miss is attention. Because the machine can pay you attention, but also you cannot pay it attention in this way. So we actually pay a very, very big price for all the ways in our culture that we are taking human contact out because it's not efficient. And by prioritizing efficiency over contact, we're undoing and undermining a sort of really powerful and important currency of everyday life, which is you go out into your high street and you meet people and you have moments of attention and contact with one another that feed us and feed everybody. And somehow we seem to be stripping those away, maybe because this kind of attention takes effort and courage and openness and attentiveness and care, and none of things are easily commodified, and none of them are time efficient, but they all tap into something much more important about being a human than time efficiency, even though time efficiency is sometimes important, but not for this.
Was thinking, Justin, about the ongoing reflection in this. There's so much to say about automation and machinery. I can feel that thread opening up, but the thing I really want to say is something about the kind of the reciprocal nature of this as well, which is there are certain times I know when I'm kind of honing in on myself and connecting with another and being curious about another serves the channel being open between us. And there are some times where the thing that serves the channel being open between us is me coming home to myself so I can be in receipt of what's here. And that seems like it's different all the time. Like there are different situations that bring about a different part of that for me. And so this thing's being born in me now of when I'm particularly kind of self-obsessed, just to use a bit of shortcut language there, but you know, when I'm highlighting everything about myself and I'm thinking about myself and I'm worried about myself and I'm being kind of, I would call myself a bit kind of neurotic, what can I do to open the channel between us? What can I do to connect with others so that I take the spotlight off myself and turn the spotlight a little bit onto you so that I can then be included in the world? But then also there are times when I'm so into the world and so enthusiastic about what's happening that I completely forget myself. And then I'm not receiving either. I might be trying to gobble up the world or make the most of something or be efficient, like you're saying, but I've lost contact with myself. And so then it's like, so can I make contact with what's here in me, in my body, so that I'm that the receiver is intact and available to receive life. And I feel like my life is a dance between those places. And that the reflection is, the question I'm going to be asking myself is, what would open the channel between us now? Is it for me to connect with myself and wonder what's happening internally, physically, anythingly for me? Or is it to connect with you and become curious? And either of those things could open the channel between me and you, between me and the world right now. And I wonder what it is in this particular circumstance that I find myself in, because each different circumstance is an affordance for either me being all inwards or all outwards in some way. And of course, even in one circumstance, that can change all the time. But I've got this new reflection coming in me of what would open the channel between you and I so that I'm in receipt of life, that I'm either becoming more present to receive life because I'm paying attention to me, or being more present to receive life because I'm paying more attention to you, and how that can just carry me as a wondering in all of the situations I'm in my life.
Look, that Lizzie, that's such it was really powerful set of distinctions. And you had me thinking whilst you were talking about one of the things that we very often say I often say when I'm working with groups, and that we often say when we're teaching people to do coaching, as you and I do very often as part of our commitments in Third Space, which is that the kind of presence that we are, what can be said by another person is intimately connected with the kind of listening that we're being.
Mm-hmm.
And there's exactly the thing. So that the one side of your mum's advice, which is just go and be really curious about other people, which is such excellent advice, is also in one way primarily one side of it, which is I could be really, really curious about you and ask you lots and lots and lots of questions, Lizzie, and that would be much, much better than me worrying about me. But the risk of it is that in a way my curiosity becomes about me. I'm super interested. Look, here's what I'm interested in about you. So the other side of it is the receiving, the softer, open, contactful with myself, just receiving side, in which I don't know what you're going to say or who you're going to be, and there's space for that, and it's not being guided or shaped by my curiosity. And both are called for, and it's some kind of dance, is what I'm taking from what you're saying, between the two, my attention and shaping and making myself available and being interested, and also my softness and my openness and my not doing anything apart from making myself wide and available and impressionable in your presence. And it's one of the things I often, when we're working with people who are beginning to learn to coach, it can seem like that getting to know another person ought to involve a ton of our curiosity. What about this? And what about that? And what about this? And it does have its place. But if it's only curiosity, it's a kind of narrow attention band. It's like, I think it's one of the things that isn't in this piece by Magda Gerber, is the sort of width and depth of our attention. So I can bring a very focused mm-hmm. attention to you, like I want to know about your glasses, and I want to know about your day, and I want to know about how you're feeling, and I want to know, you know, all of that. And then there's also like our sort of wide, soft attention, which is, Lizzie, I'm right here, and all of my attention is with you, as it is with me. It's with me and with you, like you've just been saying.
Mm.
Now let's see what happens. And it's less insistent or goal oriented. And do we really need that kind of attention too? We thrive on people being going, I'm right here. Here I am. Let's see what's here, because my attention in you is your way, and maybe in the best of this world, your attention is my way, and then we discover.
Yeah. Gosh, Justin, it's time for us to end this conversation, but I can feel all kinds of curiosities arising in me, and wonderings and understandings. And I was just thinking, it's possible for me to put my attention on you and make that about me. Like I can feel that. I think that's what you were just saying. Like it's no good if I'm making you about me. I don't even know how to say this properly, but I can feel the, when you said wide, and I think you were saying something like, well, you know, wide and expansive and soft attention. That's very different than me kind of making a beeline for you and asking you 100 questions because of what I want to know about you, but more making myself an affordance for what you feel called to reveal in my presence because of who I'm being. That's a very different thing than you fulfilling my need to know everything about you. And that feels like a whole world of inquiry and wondering about what we're up to when we're connecting with one another and finding out about each other's lives and learning to be in relationship with each other. So anyway, I've shot myself out into some kind of canon of curiosity now, and we're going to have to end. But I can feel maybe like a poem brewing or some way of processing what this conversation is bringing up for me, because it feels very alive and very curious to me what's actually going on when we're relating to one another. And probably the answer is we don't know anything about anything that's going on between us. But I feel really inspired and enlivened and very curious about what's actually happening between us when we are paying attention to one another. So it's time to end this conversation. What a brilliant conversation. Thank you to Magda Gerber for her life's work of wonderfulness for many, many humans in the world. And thank you, Justin, for paying attention to all the things you pay attention to, and also having the capacity to bring yourself right here in amongst lots of things. And I think we're both holding whole lives and everything else at the same time as doing this. And how wonderful that we can turn our attention quite simply and nourishingly towards one another here and towards life. And thank you, everybody, for being here. And we'll be back next week with another source.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Lizzie. Bye-bye.